Oh, we back. Thank you for listening to another episode of my podcast, which I will soon rename yet again. The new name is going to be The Day Peace Talk Podcast. I know that's a lot of words, but I'm just going through this complete rebranding, and I want to stay consistent with Day Peace being in the center of everything, right? Because when I first started off doing comedy, I was going by Comedian Day Day. Like, that was just what everybody was calling me. And my first logo had Comedian Day Day, and then it had hashtag funny and blessed. And that's just, that's my hashtag. Like, I always go back to that. That, I was sitting down, I think, doing one of my first news article interviews and for the newspaper. And she asked me, like, why funny and blessed? Like, why? And I... For a long time, I just stopped thinking about it. Like, I stopped. I would use it, but I stopped thinking about the importance. So when I think about it, when I look at, like, my first logo, I constantly go back to, this is how it all started, right? Because that was the name. That was the first name. And, you know, signing up, doing comedy. And Funny and Blessed was just always the thought. Right. It was always understanding that you're funny and understanding that you're blessed and putting those two things together and going out and executing and delivering and being funny and ha ha telling jokes and, you know, growing. So I think about the podcast, which, you know, we went from Peace Talk Podcast to Peace Talk. And I want to go back to when you were searching for my stuff. Right. I want Day Peace to just be at the center of everything. So a new podcast is going to be called, or it's the same podcast, but the new name will be The Day Peace Talk Podcast. And this episode will be another short one because it got pushed back. My cousin, who had been on the podcast before, is releasing another new music project. It's another album, which I think is an EP. But he typically releases them on the 31st of December or the January 1st, but he missed the deadline. Something got pushed back, and we weren't able to do our chit-chat, so that got pushed back to next week. So next week, he should be my guest. My mother wants to be back on it, and my wife is looking for us to do a quick episode. So that's how I'm going to kind of phase out this season as we get ready for season 6. And I got to be honest with you, I never imagined enjoying this as much as I had, because for a long time, again, you're just figuring out what to say, what to put out. And I'm not going to say I think I figured it out, but I will say I'm so much more closer to the idea that I had when I first started. Because again, this is sort of, it's almost like green room talk, where I'm just unfiltered. Me and you are in a room, and I'm letting you know what I think and how I feel. And I was going through this, like, I need to spruce it up, right? I need to find, you know, hot button topics and be more controversial. And I'm good. Like, I'm sure it would be maybe more entertaining to a wider bunch, but for me, that's just not who I am and how I am. Like, I don't, for example, Bill Cosby is getting ready to tour apparently this year, and, you know, like, what's my hot button topic? Don't. You know, like, please don't. I think it's ridiculous. But I'm also aware that, you know, people will buy those tickets because they want to hear what he has to say. And I think that's just the world we live in, or the country that we live in. I mean, if Louis C.K. can win a Grammy for his latest album after the shit that he did, and, you know, I want to say the Me Too era, but... then I think I don't want to say people get a pass, because I don't think that's exactly what happened. You know, he did stop working essentially for about a year or so. And I remember there was a comedian on Facebook who turned down a gig. Like, he refused to do the gig because CK was on the lineup or was headlining the show or whatnot. And everybody, like, rallied behind him. Like, hey, great job. It was a, you know, I believe a, I want to say, straight white male comic. And everybody rallied behind him. And then people started throwing him work. Like, hey, good job. I know you missed out on this and that opportunity. Here's some. And that was pretty dope. Right? Because it helps ask the question, what is your line? How far would you go? And as a comedian personally, who would you work with and who would you not work with? My friend / barber, Ra, who's been on the podcast, he wrote a book and he helps keep my hairline alive. Like, this man deserves deserves a lot of love and respect. He asked me, you know, he just barbershop talk, but he asked me from time to time, like, hey, if JJ Jimmy Walker calls you or his agent calls you to open up, would you do it? If CK, Louis CK asks you, if Bill Cosby, if so on and so forth. And sometimes, ideally, he's picking some of the worst candidates for me, where I would either have to seriously think about it or it's an instant no. But I think those are good questions to ask yourself, you know? And I think sometimes we might be surprised at the answer. And I don't know if that's necessarily a horrible thing, because I think about my life and some of the bad decisions I've made. Like, just terrible choices, Day-Day. Like, and a lot of them, I learned so much more about myself. And there were times where I was shocked. Okay, there were some lady situations where I was like, don't do this, Day. You know, so you better than this. I was not better than this. Okay. Like, I was, you know what I mean? I ate the red and the blue pill. It was, you know, but I seriously feel like I learned from them. I grew from those experiences, and we're not done making mistakes in our life. You know, I'm 37. I'm turning 38 this year. We're not done making mistakes in our life, but if we can't at least acknowledge, had I not gone through that to get through that, then what are we doing? So, some of my horrible, you know, working relationships, and I may have brought this up, and I don't know if it still bothers me or if I'm just so petty, I can't let it go. But there is a gentleman who refused to book me because I kept calling him by his last name. And again, am I wrong? Let's just, yes. Like, if I tell you my name is Janet and you call me Jackson, okay, like, all the time, I'm sure that might get annoyed to the point where I'm like, I don't want to associate with you. My name is Janet, okay? Like, I would just freak out, and that would be the thing. However, you know, I look at it from my perspective, because that's what we do in life. We go through life and we look through things through our own perspective. And if someone kept calling me Peace, I would have no problem with it. I mean, unless something terrible, like, so the guy's name is his last name is Ryan. So maybe for people who have, like, you know, first name, last names or whatever, maybe they've gone through their whole life and they're like, I don't like being called by my last name. And it makes me angry. So he, like, refused to book me. And I went the pettiest route that I could, where, you know, I eventually apologized, because, again, I'm wrong, yes. However, the pettiness ensued when I constantly kind of bugged him almost to be rebooked. And it took, no lie, probably a year and a half for him to finally say, look, I'm not going to rebook you. And I was like, it was almost like a, this is what I was waiting for. Okay, like, I know it. You know it and I know it. But until you say it, I'm just going to keep fucking booking you. So anyway, I'm getting off the point. Point is, learn from it, and you grow. You just, and that's what I have had to do in this career. So This episode of Peace Talk Podcast is brought to you by Ruby Ribbon, but more specifically, one of my best friends who sells the product. She got completely into it and it changed her life, and so she started changing other people's lives, and I think that is incredible. Ruby Ribbon is a 3-in-1 solution to an everyday problem, the underwire bra. So women who are out there that hate your bra, don't like your bra, you guys are having issues and problems and you break up every week, like this is a solution. You can get comfortable everyday shapewear that can also be worn as outerwear. It actually takes 1-3 inches off your waist. This is like a 7-second tummy tug, and it's for every woman of all different sizes. So big, small, big boobs, small boobs, they have you covered. What's pretty incredible is my mother bought it, my wife bought it, a lot of my best friends bought it, and at first, to be honest, they buy it to support, right? Like, hey, I'm selling a new product, can you buy it and support? But they bought it, and they absolutely love it, and it's changing their lives, and it's changed a lot of women's lives. And if you are interested in having your life changed and wearing a bra and you know, a fitting that works a lot better than probably what you have, please reach out to her. It's www.myshamama, that's myshamama.com. Tell her they sent you, and she'll take great care of you. They'll help with sizing and everything else. So check it out. Let me know how it goes, and good luck, ladies. Check her out. I'm just going through a little bit of a rebranding, and I want to do these things, and I think I don't want to do these things, and you know, wish me a lot of luck, because if last year was the best year of my life as far as comedy, this has got to be a great follow-up. This has got to be a decent sequel to 2022, and I took the first week off of the year, so I'll be back on stage this Friday in Mason City at my monthly show that I do there every second Friday. It's a free show, and that show has been very instrumental in my ability to do comedy closer to where I live on a regular. I have a couple of shows on my schedule on my Linktree. If you want to go check that out, I'll be in Colorado, which I've never done comedy in Colorado before. So that's coming up in 2 weeks, and I'm just very excited to get back out there, kind of look at the material that I've been ruffling through over the last couple of years and sort of saying, okay, these are the new jokes that I'm going to do. These are the jokes I'm no longer going to do, and finding that middle of continuing to still entertain. My New Year's show was still great, and it was a great example of mixing both old and new material together. So I'm going to end the episode with talking about my top five shows of last year. And I, you know, if you've been listening, I've talked about them already in more ways than none, but coming in at number five. So May 13th, my comedy album came out. It went number one. And I also had a show that night, which I had a comedy album release. It was a comedy album release party. And I didn't have that for the first album because it was a pandemic. I released in 2020. Actually, I released it in one form. And then I put some singles out on all the major platforms. And then I didn't release the album until 6 months later. So I just didn't have that experience. So this time around, I had the experience. I got on stage, I talked for 30 minutes. I still have the recordings on my computer that I have not edited to put out since of May of last year. And I watched it, and I just, the editing, it just, it's dreadful. Like, if you are listening and you're like, hey, I love doing editing stuff and I don't charge a lot, please hit me up, because I would love to just record content and give it to someone, and then they, hey, knock your socks off. But I spoke about the albums. It was a 30-minute time on stage, and I proceeded to get drunk. And if I could be honest with you, I was a little drunk before we started. It was just a huge celebration. I had never, just me and you talking, I had never been more proud of myself in comedy than releasing art, you know, some new jokes and bits and crowd work, and it becoming number one on iTunes and Amazon. And I think as I go into this year, I have to back off of that as much. Because I mean, I leaned heavy on it. Like, hey, say, what's your intro? Make sure you say. Now I'm gonna ease off of it because, I mean, I'm gonna still promote the album, but I'm gonna ease off on it from the idea that now I need to build more credits and credentials and things for people to say as far as opening, and that's what I need to work on. But anyway, so it was just, I got drunk, I passed out in the green room. I was like a fucking rock star. It was a really fun night for me. Not the best performance, but I still had some great comics that came through and smashed the stage. So it was just a win-win all around. And that's my number five. Number four was my big Ragbri performance, where I got to MC and also perform the main stage. Was Ragbri is this huge bike cyclist event in Iowa. And I got to bring on stage Don Felder, formerly with the Eagles, and the band Sugar Ray. And it was just a really cool experience for me. I had never been in front of thousands of people telling jokes. So, I have that ability to say, you know, what's the largest crowd that you've been in front of? And I can say 10,000 plus. You know, we were looking for 20 to 40,000. But again, 10,000 is still incredible, you know, especially for me and where I'm at. So, it wasn't like the best set that I ever did. I had to cut some material, and it was a PG-13 show. So, a lot of what I cut or a lot of what I had left was a bunch of race stuff, which I talked about and joked about, and I'm still glad I did. But as the show went on, as the night went on, and by the end of the night, I just felt so comfortable being on that stage in that moment. And that was really cool for me. So that's number four. Both of those places are in Mason City, Iowa. Number three, spoiler alert, also in Mason City, Iowa. This is back at the place that I just mentioned, Mason City Brewing, which is where I do my monthly show. I had a birthday show there in March, and it was a birthday roast, and my mother got on stage. It was the first time, and that's on YouTube. If you have not watched it, please watch it. She just go in. It's a great set, but she was very funny, and she talked shit about me. And it was a really cool moment to share that with my mom. So that's my number three. It was just an emotional show all around. Very fun and extremely high turnout. Like, it was just shoulder to shoulder it was one of those nights. No, you know, nowhere to sit. Insanely packed. The energy was at an all time high. Number two was the actual album recording. So in Des Moines, Iowa, at the comedy club that I frequent, Teehee's Comedy Club, that's where I recorded the album. And again, unlike the first album, I did two shows. So I had an early show and a late show. And the early show was the material. And the late show was pretty much crowd work. Just that experience of challenging myself. You know, like, if you ask me, like, my top shows of my life, both of my albums are in it because of what they meant and the process, you know. I hear The Secret of Life, like, hey, you want to know what The Secret of Life is? It's progress, constantly working towards something. And then when you get that, work on something else that you want or improve the thing that you have. It's quite genius, if I can be honest with you. Like, it's one of those, like, clickbaits, like, what's the secret? And then you're like, you know what? I agree with that. And again, the second album, Side B, pretty much comes up. It comes along because of the failures or the lessons that I learned from the first album. Like, everything I wanted to do differently or get right from the first album, I do on the second album. And I think that's just the power of progress, right? It's like, oh man, like, if I, you know, had I done these things for the first album, you know, who knows? And I wanted to be looser with the material. I wanted to do crowd work. I wanted to be a little controversial. I wanted to do two shows. I wanted to pick between. It was just great. It was a really great experience. And obviously, the results is number one. And then the number one show of last year was my big casino show, which I talked enough about. I think I did a whole episode about it. And it was it was. So if I can tell you my top shows of my entire life, all 11 years, both of the albums are in it, as well as this casino show. It was just, it was a pinnacle. Like, these shows for me are always like, you know, your season finales, your final acts. They're always like this huge conclusion of so much work, and coming together and hitting that point. And it was just, it was a show that had so many highs. There were some issues that I had. Again, I talked a little bit about them. But as far as my personal performance and my personal production and how I think it went overall, it was incredible. So number one show of last year. These are also just like top three of my life, the casino and both my albums. And I wanted to leave you with that. So I think as we reflect on last year and we kind of challenge ourselves, hey, this is what I want to do differently, or these are my resolutions, or these are what I want to work toward. I think we are at that point now where we look at the rear view, we look at how great or bad 2022 was for us, and you know, we start looking further ahead to what we got planned for this year. So that's the episode. I will be back with some family guests, and I love you. I hope you guys are doing well, and go out and kick ass today and this week. If you can do anything, do that for me. All right, I'll talk to you when I talk to you. Peace. If you want me to read an ad for you or your business, just give me money, okay? I will say how great your product is. I'll call you a humanitarian. This season, I'm looking to get sponsorship, which just helps take this podcast up another level. There's a couple of different ways you can do it and a couple of different ways you can reach out to me. So you can go to my email, which is comedian dayday, D-A-Y-D-A-Y at gmail, or you can reach out to me through my link tree, which is linktr.ee/daypeacecomedy. Anything is appreciated. Everything is appreciated. Don't forget to laugh today. Peace.